So, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Fatima, today we will make something very different because normally I speak German only.
Yeah.
But I came across your content and it was very interesting to me. And this podcast isn't only for other people. It is actually also for myself. So if I am interested in anything, why not do it in a podcast way where other people can also benefit from it? You talk about like Muslim civilization and what they contributed to science, and it really changed my perspective. I mean, obviously I'm Muslim, but I wasn't raised Muslim. And I had also like the perspective of a German who never heard about Arab scientists.
Really?
Like, we don't learn that in school, actually.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So the question, like my first question is, why do you talk about those topics? How did it come?
Oh, so actually the story to it is pretty intriguing and funny because I myself didn't know, like, as you mentioned, like, because I live in Europe country and I'm half Lebanese, so I get to see, like, the different cultures, but the education I get was only from Lithuania. So basically, like, the journey starts when I started reading this book, The Fifth Mountain by Paulo Coelho, and there was, like, a thing mentioned which really stuck, like, deeply in me, which basically it was about, like, the first written language, which basically come from Lebanon, like present-day Lebanon, in the city called Byblos. And I remember I read it and I thought, is it really true? Because I was only taught that it comes from Greek alphabet. And I remember I rushed to my dad and I asked him, like, is it really true? And then my dad started explaining the roots of the written language, that it basically was from Phoenician, which is present-day Lebanon. They made the system, the Greeks saw it, they took it to adapt in their own culture, in their own civilization. So what I mean by that it is not bad that we took it, we only added, but in, for example, in education system, we unfortunately don't get to know the roots of the written language. And it only not comes from a written language, but from other things we see in science, in astronomy, in medicine, in many, many fields. So I got very intrigued about it. And I remember that day we basically with my dad spoke really about it, like maybe for 2-3 hours. And he started explaining me. For example, he asked me, do you know where the medicine comes from? And I said, yeah, I think I know, but I don't basically know. And he said, like, the medicine word comes from a father of medicine, Ibn Sina, who in that time, he was called Avicenna. In, for example, it was later Latinized as Medicina in English, then it becomes medicine. He, like, started doing this, like, he started to play in a way with me with these like words to see that the roots of it is like in Muslim civilization. For example, algorithm. So the father of algorithm is algorithmi, like Latinized name. If you go deeper into it, it's al-Khwarizmi, who was the father of algorithms. So yeah, so I started to do that and it got me to your even podcast.
I think it's very interesting. Like, how did you decide then to share this on Instagram? Because, okay, you came across like Muslim civilization. You came across that many things actually originate in the Muslim civilization. But why did you decide to share it? What was the reason behind that?
When I started doing that, I actually, like, when I started learning and going deeper into Muslim civilization, the idea wasn't to educate other people. The idea was to educate myself, to know my, like, to know it better. And it was like a thing because of the desire to know. The desire also to educate people came in this sense. I started learning so many things. The realization which came to me was, oh, so many people just don't know it. And one of those people was also me, who didn't get the chance to understand it because I never was taught like about it, and I never thought that there is something to it for me to go on the internet and to look it up. So what I think, like, this is also comes from a part that when you feel like you love something so much, you want to share it with others. Yeah. And basically, like, this feeling came to me naturally. And of course, I never did reels before. I never spoke about anything, like, in a sense of to the to the people, to the other people, or going live or anything. So I believe this is where was like, I have to do it. I have to overcome my insecurities in a way and just do it because I really
That's
like
so beautiful.
Yeah, it's like a journey. It's like a journey of also like getting to know history well and getting to know like myself, for example, to creating content. I as well like seek to receive knowledge, like to go out there and to internet or to read more books just to get myself to educated. So get myself educated so I could basically spread this awareness to other people.
That's so beautiful, and thank God you did that, because a lot of things you shared I didn't know either, and I think a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know,
and I think that's like my belief is that Allah sent us here, like everyone with their like very unique personality and interests, and I think it's the most beautiful thing if someone finds their own interest and finds their path and then starts to share it. Because we live out of community and sharing things with each other.
Yeah.
What really interests me is, why do you think history is important? Because I always had a hard time to understand in school, why do we learn so much about history? Because I always felt like that doesn't help me now. Like knowing that this country and this country had a fight when like thousands of years ago, how can that help me now? Why do you think it is important to know history and to know also the part of Muslim civilization?
That's actually a very beautiful and nice question because it goes so deeply, you know? And for example, I myself, when I was learning history in school, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I didn't want to know because for me, it was like, we're talking about wars I'm against. We're talking about religion, which seems like politics. We're talking about so many things, which seems, why do I even need to know all these things which come from bloodshed, which comes from fear, which comes from desire to achieve something, but not in a nice way, but in a more like in a way of fighting. And I believe we got more open-minded to realize that if you want to get something, you can do it also by talking, also by sharing, also by putting your views on the table, not by just taking out the sword and killing you if you disagree, you know. So since we are looking from different perspective, we get educated more, so we look at it as something to resist. And I had like this completely feeling the same. I didn't want to learn. The first thing I didn't like was history. But when I started learning it in a way of Muslim civilization, it was a sense of I didn't know it. And why I didn't know it. And it was the sense of curiosity. This is what brought me into learning it. And for example, why it is important, I believe many people have different views. Some people are born and they really like to learn history. Some people are born and they disregard learning history, but it comes for me like later on. Or some people, they don't want to even touch it because they better read romance or they better like stay in the present and think about the future. Like it's difficult to answer. I will share my own perspective. For example, even if you look into a simple thing, let's say if you look into a blank paper, it is blank like paper. I mean like a paper like that, you know? Simple blank paper, you see in this blankness that there are so many civilizations around it. Like it is, you see the final only, like the final only result of it. But if you go deeper into looking into that paper, this is basically what meditation, let's say, is. When you go into deeper, like looking deeper into how it come to you, you can also do it into a perspective of history. Like, where does this paper come from? Why someone has to think of it, and now we have it. And just if you look at it, like, paper was actually invented in Chinese civilization. Like, later, the Muslim civilization took it, adapted into their culture, made it better, and then it was sent to Europe, to Eastern cultures. So you see how it basically connects the cultures. Also, it's about connectedness. Also, it's about the mind and the power of the mind, that you can create something from a piece of nothing. And from, like, perspective of history, I don't really go into the bloodsheds and everything. And I don't really talk about, like, the history of wars, but I really talk about it about in, from a perspective of the science, about inventions, about about the mind. I put, like, the mind on the table, like, it is, like, the highest thing for me. So not like the highest thing for me, but in a way that it's the most powerful thing for me, which a human has. And if you put the knowledge out there, you can see that even the glass, like, the, for example, this one, also it comes from somewhere. Like, and you also look at it in the perspective of history, if you want to understand it, why someone came up into, like, why someone wanted to create the glass, why it's here right now and I use it, and it's beautiful, the science of computer, for not the, the science of inventing, for example, the computer we use now today, for example, how it all works and everything, like, it's hard to detach it, and it's hard to say. And it's, I wouldn't say hard. I would believe it is, people are unaware that history done so many things. People are.
That's true.
Yeah, basically they are unaware because we are basically, I don't know why is that. I cannot answer it from a, from this perspective. But either we are unaware because we don't want to know, or either we are unaware because we never knew, you know, about the the impact of many civilizations on the present day. So yeah, this is the.
It's a very beautiful answer, I think. I think it feels like knowing all of the work that had to be done to create, like, this blank paper makes you more appreciative of the paper. You know, it, like, gives you this feeling of thankfulness where you think, like, wow, it's amazing that I can use this blank paper now to write something on it, because, like, hundreds of years ago that wouldn't be possible. So I myself love journaling, so I'm very thankful to whoever invented this blank paper, because I use it every day. And I think it is actually human nature. That's also something we learn, or I learned through Islam, is, like, it is human nature actually to forget about things we can be thankful of. Like, we are always in fear, always thinking about the negative things. We tend to just forget about all the blessings, about all the good things, because we take them for granted. And I think history maybe shows you that you shouldn't take things for granted, that there is a history behind every little thing you have now. Someone invented it. It just didn't just appear. So I think it's a very beautiful answer. And I really can feel how passionate you are about that, which I love, because it comes across it. And I think that's beautiful, because we need people that are passionate about things, because it, it transfers the passion. You know, I'm not really interested in history. I never was. But talking to you, I become passionate about it. Like, it's
that's
like, she's right. That's really, that's really surprisingly interesting. So, what is interesting to me is, why don't we learn about all of the, like, contribution that Muslim civilization had to science? Like, do you have the reason for that? Why do we only learn about the Latins and the Greeks and the Italians and the Romans and whatsoever, but we don't really learn about an Arab who invented something which we, like, profit off today?
You mean, like, in schools, in Western schools?
Yes.
To that, I have two opinions. And one, it comes from a professor, Salim Al-Hassani, and one comes from me. I believe there are many opinions to that, why we are not learning in Western schools about Muslim civilization. Basically, the basic thing would be it's not their culture, it's not their civilization to learn about. It's more like, for example, in Europe, of course, we are more attached to Greek civilization, to Roman civilization, because basically this is like our history. And to add someone else's history is not, maybe not too attractive or not too important. But this is the basic thing. From which I mentioned the two sides of it is from, one is from Salim Al-Hassani. So he's like a professor, and he really, his history as well, how he started diving into history is also very, very interesting, because he himself, he was an engineer and he never learned anything about history in a way that it made him curious. It made him like passion. And after many things happened in his life where he started like to get into that. And he is basically the reason I started learning science, like the history of science and the history of Muslim civilization.
Like I said, it transfers.
It really, because I started listening to so many talks of his, and it just got me like, I don't know the feeling, but oh my God, I like it. I just see his passion to it. I see how he talks about it, and I was so intriguing to know what he found that I'm missing. And so basically I bought his book and everything, and I started reading it. And his idea to that, his opinion on that, is more like is more based on facts, which is that during that time when Muslim civilization flourished, they had many inventors who invented many different things. And the thing is that because of a political tension back then with the Christians and Muslims and everything, many ideas had to be filtrated. That means, for example, if an inventor from Muslim civilization, from Muslim culture, comes to you with a certain idea and brings it to the West, then Christians would take it, delete the name, and put it as their name. So many names got deleted, many names got changed. For example, when I speak about like Al-Khwarizmi, his name was changed to Al-Ghurizmi. So many, like, if you want to go into the roots, you have to change, like, open, like, the path to it. So it's because of a political tension during that time. And one of the other thing basically comes from my perspective. So from my perspective, it is because the Quran was revealed and then Muslim civilization flourished with it. Since for Muslims, it is the book of truth, they started to get more and deeply into it. That means it already said that the planet Earth is round. It already said about the system and that is always expanding, which we only learned about the expanding of the universe during this 12th century. But it was mentioned in the Quran. And since we believed it so deeply in the revolution, which was sent by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we really got into it so deeply that we didn't think of, maybe the planet is flat. You know, they knew that the planet is round because it was said by Allah. Mm-hmm. The only thing they had to do, they had to go deeper into finding why the planet is round. So this is what got them into science, into knowing, into learning, because basically Quran really it motivates you to find Allah's signs around the world, find the truth he's speaking about. So this is basically what lots of inventors done. And their work was, many works were based on the Quran, what was revealed on the Quran. So the only thing what we were doing, we were proving that it was right. So if this is the case of, for example, this invention of this realization, which was proved by numbers, by the statistics, by the explanation, then that means that people like Christians or like Western has to prove as well the Quran, because the invention, like the root was for I don't know how to say it.
I know what you mean. You're saying like
it?
The source.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think what you mean is like the source of them seeking knowledge was the Quran, because the Quran said like the earth is round and like the universe is expanding. Yeah. Then they like seek knowledge to prove that. And if like a Christian would see that, they wouldn't like accept it.
I don't know if that is true, but for me, it's, I believe like still it has something
I really
to
like,
do with it.
Yeah. I really like how you talk about it, because you said in the beginning, like there are many opinions and you don't know the truth. And I think that's something I stand for also with this podcast, that even though obviously I think there is a truth, I don't necessarily think that this is like the, I don't know, that everyone needs to believe in the same truth as I do. You know what I mean? So I think different truth can exist like simultaneously. And I like your view, like how you talk about it, because I think history is something so complex. Like, now it's hard to know what exactly happened 5,000 years ago. Like, we can read one book and this book tells us that the Muslims did that and this, and the other book tells us something completely different. Yeah. So no one was there 5,000 years ago to really witness. So I can't say that this is the truth. The only thing I can do is like research and then build my own opinion. And say, this is what I think. And then everyone is like free to contribute to that. So that's beautiful. Do you think that like us not knowing about all of the contribution of the Muslim civilization does something to like, what got me really interesting in this topic when I came across your content was, we have like in the West a very bad image of Muslims. So it's like we think about terror, we think about oppressing women, we think about the Taliban, we think about so many things. We don't actually think about anything positive. And like in my opinion, I thought, I think if people would knew that Muslim civilization at that time were people who were really seeking knowledge, contributing so much to the science we use today, helping others, that would maybe change their mind. And that was something like, I thought it's important that we know, because that's why I asked you, why do you think it is important to think about history? Because I started to think about that. I was like, if everyone knew that, do you think we still would have the same negative view on Muslims? For example, like the situation in Gaza, that's what I felt. Seeing all of the videos, lots of people started to see Arabs in a different light. They saw like this loving father who was crying because like he lost his wife and his daughter, or they saw them working together, helping each other, all of that. You know, it changed a little bit the view we had on Muslim men. So I think if we knew about all of the inventions, all of the, like how much they seeked knowledge, that science and Islam are not like contradictory or anything like that. Like for me, science proves God. It's not like that they contradict each other. And I think like it would at least like better the situation.
What I think about that, I think the more people become aware of it, it would definitely open the perspective of, it's not about only bloodshed, or it's not about only the terrorism or anything else. There's so many things and during which happened during Muslim civilization comes from the roots of them seeking knowledge, of them wanting to improve, of them wanting to connect, of them wanting to just participate in this world as other civilizations. And I think it is super important to understand that, because there's so many shadows built on this period that it is even deleted from our books, you know. So it is, what gets you to delete something from the history and then in school's textbooks call it world history? Then you see that more than 1,000 years are missing, and it's especially missing yes. in Muslim civilization. I believe since we don't see it, since we don't have access to it, we believe that nothing great came out of it. Nothing yeah. beautiful yeah. was there for us to really appreciate it, because so many, for example, Western mindset might not even appreciate the impact of Muslim civilization. And for them, when they get older, after this education system bringing so many other civilizations but not acknowledging also Muslim civilization, people grow up and then they have to learn about Muslim civilization. And many people might not take this step back in learning, you know, because they're now...
Of yeah. course not, because they think, what should exactly. I know? What should I yeah. learn from Muslim civilization? Yeah. Because I learned that they are like bad people. Mm-hmm. Like my father, for example, who was like raised mm-hmm. Muslim and born in Turkey, he told me when I like told him that I am practicing mm-hmm. now, because he isn't, he was like, just look at the Muslim civilization, look at like Afghanistan, look at Iran, look at this. They have so many problems, and there you see that's Islam. And I'm like, so many people yeah. think like that, but this isn't the yeah. truth. And I think if they knew how many great mm-hmm. scientists are actually Muslims,
yeah.
Then this would change their view. And I think there is a system behind that we don't talk yeah. about those things, that those scientists don't get the platform mm-hmm. to really be visible yeah. as much as others. Like you posted a video yesterday where he said, I forgot his Mehdi name. Yeah, where he said that like a Muslim terror act gets like shown on the media 4.5 times more mm-hmm. often than like a right-wing terrorist. Mm-hmm. So why is yeah. that? There is like an interest in really portraying that picture of this bad mm-hmm. Arab. And I do think it would be very important for people to dive deeper into that. And what I'm not saying is that Muslim civilizations or Islam or whatsoever don't have any problems. That's not yeah. true. Of course, we have like fascists and like very extremist yeah. point of views, but you have that in every religion. You have that in every society, in every culture, in every whatsoever. Like people make things yeah. bad. It's not that the source of it is mm-hmm. bad. That doesn't mean that there is a problem with the Quran or with anything of this religion. It just shows you how people tend to function. And we have to see that those countries are like very, how can I say, like they are not as privileged as yeah. we are, right? Like they don't have as much money. They don't have as much safety. Yeah. So it's easy to blame them for not contributing or not putting forward anything special, if on the other hand, we see now with Gaza, like they are bombarded and no one comes to help. And I think that's my opinion. I'm not saying that this is the truth, but I think that we only accept this because it is a Muslim
yeah,
country
yeah.
or a Muslim civilization. Yeah, yeah. Like we wouldn't accept this when the same thing happened in yeah. Germany. Like if we now as Germans go into Austria and bomb them and do all the horrible things, everyone would be outraged. But we are like, we dehumanized Muslims so much that we don't even really care. It's like, yeah, it's one more war.
But what
it's
you
like
said,
always
yeah.
them.
What you said is so powerful, because the life of a Muslim is not equal to the life of a white person, yeah. for example. Or,
yeah.
okay, I'm saying a Muslim and a white person, but I mean like a life of a black person, not black, but a life of a...
black is also not that, not that important.
No,
yeah.
I mean like a life,
no, it's sad,
like,
but it's
a life
true.
Of a Muslim is not equaled as a life of a Christian. So if you only yeah. like look from that perspective, or Eastern or Western, of course, like the life is, it's not equal. Like, and we also, what you said, we can see that there is like a decrease in in humanity and a decrease in emphasis in that particular area. And I believe so many things have to do with media, because media is the only thing which connects many continents, many countries into one. So, for example, as me living now in Lithuania, I can see that what's happening in Lebanon, I can see what is happening in Afghanistan, I can see what is happening in US, and so many things. And since the media is the channel, is the eye for me to see many things, we can just do whatever we want. We can just manipulate me, manipulate my thoughts, manipulate how I see and view the truth, because it is so important which media you are looking at, because and the book you are reading, because one which you said about like history, you might read what happened in the history, one says it happened this way, another says it happened this way, and when you gather both of these books together and you have your own opinion. And what we have like in the media, since there are so many Western media which is taking control of like, since it's the most powerful media we right now have, so our thoughts, our views can be so manipulated because we put our trust in that. And it is really a lack of knowing, a lack of knowledge. And I'm not in a way blaming those people, because sometimes you're not even aware. You know, sometimes you're not even aware that what you're learning is untrue. This is, for example, happened in me sitting in a history class and learning about history, not knowing that there is 1,000 years missing. So I was even unaware to know it. So there are, I believe, so many people who are just unaware. They are afraid as well about terrorism, about all these things, because really what is happening now in Gaza and Lebanon as well, the media is putting and playing and manipulating with people's fears. And we fear terrorism. We fear losing each other. We fear someone coming into our country and just bombing us. Like, it's a natural fear which we feel. And we are only putting this fear on Muslim, this region, because we think that the only bombing, the only terrorism attack can happen from here coming to us and just bombing us. But it is far beyond that. Like, it is so untruth. And because of people are afraid of that, they are afraid of learning. They are afraid of going out here and searching for the truth, because they believe their truth is what it is, you know? Their truth, what we see, what we get to see and to know, it's the facts. But unfortunately now, because of this war, what you also mentioned, which I really agree on that many people became aware of it. Many people became aware because they saw the suffering. They felt emphasis into even seeing the man crying for his children, for his lost life and lost family. So when you see that it is your life is equal to them, because we have feelings. Yeah. They are like people like me, but why do they get to suffer like that? Just because they believe in something I don't believe? Or because they live in a place I am afraid of living? Or, you know, because also many, many tourists don't come into that places. For example, I remember when I visited Lebanon in the summer, we went to this Heliopolis. I don't know if I'm saying this word correctly. I remember I went with my dad to visit this Heliopolis. First of all, it costed $1, and second of all, it is the oldest and the largest Heliopolis in the entire Roman Empire. And imagine, it is so huge, but the only tourist was me and my dad. Why? Because we are.
That's so sad.
When you look at it, I didn't notice that. I was just, wow, it's so beautiful. And that my dad was so like, do you even see that we are alone here? Like, and my dad told me that, and I was like, oh yeah. And my dad was like, there should be so many tourists coming into this place and seeing what we are seeing, but we are either afraid of coming to this country because of the tensions, the political tensions, or we are not coming because we are not even interesting about these places. So very different, like, things. But for example, many come into Rome to see the beautiful things which came during Roman civilization, beautiful, like, architecture.
Yeah.
Lebanon has all of it, even bigger, like the biggest temples, the temple of Baalbek and everything. It is built by Romans, and it is so huge. I never saw anything like that in Rome or in Italy. But just people, because we are afraid, they don't even want to go. We don't want to explore, basically.
I know what you mean. I think we become narrow-minded, right? It's like, you have this view and you don't question it. I think, like, true awareness, because you said you think that a lot of people are unaware, and that is true. But I think, like, true awareness, consciousness, is to know that I don't know. Like, this is, like, one of my favorite sentences in the whole wide world. The only thing I know is that I don't know anything. Because if you think like that, you will never become narrow-minded. Yeah. Because you will ask questions instead of assuming you already know. Like, when I put on the hijab, I got, like, very many hate speech, like, posts under. Yeah, I did a TikTok, and, like, so many people commented really bad stuff about the hijab, about Muslim civilization. And what struck me was, nobody did ask me, why do you wear this? Why do Muslims wear this? They told me why Muslims wear the hijab. And they told me how Muslim civilization works. They told me how Turkish people are. And I'm like, I am Turkish. I am Muslim. But you are telling me how I am. Like, why don't you ask me? And I will just let you know.
Exactly.
I will let you know my side of the story. And I think this is something, and that's why this podcast or this interview was something that really got me, like, interested, and I really wanted to do it, because I think people need to realize that. They need to realize that all they have been hearing from the media isn't the truth.
Yeah.
And they should question the things they are hearing. I'm not saying don't believe anything, but question it. Like, you can believe it and still say, oh, maybe there is also another side to it. Like, I had a very, very great professor in university, and he always told me, he said, if you read a book, always buy another book from someone who has the opposite opinion, you know? So when you read about something about Islam, which is very negative, buy a book from somebody who really has a loving and kind way of talking about Islam. If you think bad about, like, I don't know, any country, go into it and search the history and get to know. Like, I learned, for example, that in Afghanistan, like, it was like a Buddhist place. Like, so many Buddhists were in Afghanistan, and they actually converted to Islam, which I found fascinating, because Buddhism is something we love and is so in, and we all do, like the meditating, all of that.
Yeah.
Really,
like, we're
we practice it. And the Islam is, like, so bad pictured, although so many Buddhists converted to Islam. So there must be, like, a common sense in those, like, religions, you know? And I think that's what you do. So one question I have is, like, okay, somebody is listening to this podcast now, and she's like, maybe I have to question my belief system again. Where can somebody start? Like, how did you come to all of those books, and how did you find the information? Because how did you learn about, like, who invented medicine, or who invented, because if you ask ChatGPT, they won't tell you, like, the truth, right?
Yeah, it's mixed. So, it's mixed, really. First of all, you need to be very careful with Google, with the systems, with like, Western blogs and Western medias and everything. Like, they are telling a different side of the story. But for example, to learn about, like, the history in that sense of Muslim civilization, I, for example, go on YouTube and search for like talks of the professors talking about Muslim civilization, of the educated people who are learning about history, who got more like knowledge in that field, National Geography. They also make lots of documentaries of Muslim civilization, of the golden age of Islam. Basically, I found this book, and the chief editor of that is Salim al-Hassani. And this is the book I learned from. Like, it is super like that. And it talks about everything. And it talks so in precise detail. And the beginning of that actually comes into talking about Islamophobia, is about terrorism, about all these things and the shadows put into Muslim civilization and people deleting it from world history. So if someone wants to learn, I believe what we have, you know, we have like this programmed feeling when we know something is right and something is wrong. You know, we have this sense, we sometimes, one few people might like, one side might feel it, okay, I feel it, like I have this feeling, what is right, what is wrong. They all have it. The other side might be feeling, but not acknowledging that, not wanting it to be the truth. And I believe when you start learning something, you then start to sense if that makes sense and true for you or not. So the thing that people who will listen maybe to your podcast will have this feeling of sense of learning something. The thing that they also have the sense, it's the best beginning ever, you know, because by the sense, you then can go deeper, dive and swim and whatever, like, just be free in that, because no one tells you, oh, no one puts a limit here. No one puts a limit in your knowledge. So the way you also said about buying the book which says beautiful things and buying the book which says bad things. You're free to do that. Like no one is putting any borders on you, but you know, and you only let yourself be put in this box of perspective, which other people's form, or you have yourself put into the position that, okay, I'm willing to learn something new because this person, which I'm listening to, might have something which I have, which I don't know. And it is like,
bring yourself in a position where you are able to make a decision.
Exactly,
because
you
can't decide if you don't have two perspectives, right? Like if you only know one perspective, there is no decision for you. You just believe what's in front of you.
Follow.
Yeah. And that's also, you said, like, I think you tried to talk about intuition.
Yeah.
When you said, like, you have this, like, internal feeling. And I do think that intuition is something very powerful, but it is something that you need to learn.
Yeah.
Like, intuition isn't something that we have just naturally. Mm-hmm. It is, like, for example, if you never heard about anything about Muslim civilization, if you've never read the book where you first got, like, this interest, you didn't ask or feel this intuition when you sat in school and they told you how history was. And, you know, you just listened and you said, oh, okay, that's right. Intuition starts to kick in when you start to get information from more perspectives. And then you start to get this feeling of this feels right and this feels not so right.
Yeah.
And then just tend to the thing you think is right and go deeper and like research.
100%.
And like you said, I also do a lot of research on YouTube. Like, for example, I didn't get vaccinated. And a lot of people asked me, like, why didn't you? And I was like, yeah, because I researched. I didn't just listen to the media who told me, like, you need to get the vaccine. I was like, I want to know, is this vaccine safe? And then you start like searching up, and of course there are also people on YouTube, because YouTube isn't like controlled, you know. Of course there are people that like have questionable thoughts, and you need to be careful who you're listening to, but it is important to at least question. And then you can always, like, if you, for example, know Ibn Sina and that he has something to do with medicine, if you ask ChatGPT about Ibn Sina, I'm sure it will tell you something, right? So it's just, if you ask, like, who invented medicine, ChatGPT won't tell you about Ibn Sina. But if you tell ChatGPT about Ibn Sina, it might tell you that he was, like, contributing to medicine.
Also,
right? Have you tried that?
I've tried many times. And it also happens with Google. Google is basically the same step, like the same approach you have on ChatGPT is the same approach on Google, because I tried it and For example, when I started learning it, and I would put, because in this book which I'm reading, everything what I saw in Muslim civilization, the word first was put. That means first inventor of medicine, first father of medicine, first to know. Everything comes with the word first. And I thought, if we are the first, why I never heard of them? Like, if you put someone first, why when I search about it, I don't see them first? They are not first. They don't appear to me as first. And I was so curious about it. When I started reading this book, I thought, like, did I got scammed? Like, seriously? Or, you know, like, this feeling? Or, and that's because when I approached Google, I started, okay, this book says, father of medicine, Ibn Sina. I go on Google and I said, who was the father of medicine? And I got a bunch of different people. And I'm like, okay, who is Ibn Sina? When I search about Ibn Sina, the father of medicine, you know, which you say.
That's what I say. Yeah. Like, you need to know how to use Google. You need to know how to use ChatGPT. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's great that we have those possibilities. I wouldn't like to miss them. But you need to know how to use them. You need to know how to get to knowledge. And that's why I was interested, like, how do you go about it? But I think we are very similar in that. I also, like, researched on YouTube, on Instagram, on everything. And then you hear a name and then you start Googling the exact name and then you find a book and then you read the book. And it's like a hole where you, like, dive into and then it just swallows you and you have, like, oh, and this book and this book and this book. And it's beautiful. I really appreciate you sharing
what they also wanted to
the information you get.
What they also wanted to add, which came to me like after I said it, what people when they are searching, what they need to put in their back of their mind to always remind themselves that Muslim civilization is put out. That means it's not only taken out of the textbooks we learn in school, but it's also taken out of the engine systems like Google, for example. So when we search who was the first inventor, we're not going to see it because it's taken out. So it's not going to be in those people which appear because it's not considered, it's not put in these algorithms for them to show you, for example, Ibn Sina, or for them for it to show you, like, the father of medicine or the father of algorithm or any other inventor, because it is put out. So since it is put out, this is why you don't get any information. And it is easily proven, because every single person can approach Google, can approach now ChatGPT and ask those things, and they themselves will see it. But it's definitely it's out of it. And why it is out of it, like, I'm not saying something which people cannot use or people cannot approach to. It is super easy to do that. And then makes sense why it doesn't appear. And when you go, for example, into learning about this specific person you want to learn, then you get the information. And for example, the most important thing to do, because it is like the way it is right now, for example, if you want to search who was the first inventor or anything, always add in Muslim civilization. Because in Muslim civilization, because since Muslim civilization is taken out of this context, you by putting Muslim civilization, it's not gonna be that, oh, it's only Muslim civilization. No, when you have the date, for example, then with that date, you can trace, you know, you get what I mean?
With that date,
you can trace, and then you see, was it the first person or not? Because in many cases, really, it was. And the dates doesn't lie, the birth of a person doesn't lie, the invention of the the invention, like the year of the invention doesn't lie. So by just knowing these numbers, let's say, you also can trace the truth, also what the book mentions and the history mentions. Most of the inventors,
and I think it
was the first one.
And I think it's not like knowing that isn't only important if you are interested in Muslim civilization. Knowing that is important to like all topics, because it's not only Muslim civilization which is taken out. There are so many parts of history. Like, we only learn history from the ones that won the war, right? Like, they got to write the history. It wasn't the defeated ones who wrote the history. And we don't actually learn history from like a neutral perspective. We learn history through the eyes of those who were in power at that time, or who are in power right now. So I just have to look at the world and see where is the power, and I will know what the media is going to tell me to believe. And I think it is important to know that our media isn't free, and that knowledge, like to really seek knowledge, you really have to dive deep, and you have to go like the unusual routes to really find out what you're really searching.
These unusual roads are the best. Like, from, I don't know, maybe I'm this kind of person who likes to go outside and just look at it from a different perspective. Some people might not, and that's completely okay, but since I love it, for me, it's, oh my God, it's different. Like, you know, you see the different path, which is so intriguing and interesting, because you don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I believe it.
It's exactly a surprise.
Exactly. Why like, not to do
and,
that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a really, for me, it's a sign of intelligence. Yeah. Like, if you want to call yourself an intelligent person, you need to seek the truth. And the truth doesn't always fit your belief system or whatsoever. The truth just is. And I think, of course, there are things in life where it's not that easy to find truth. Like in religion, you can't prove like the existence of God. You can like, it's not something you can show somebody and say, look, here, I made a picture. There you go. But there are other things where there is a truth. Like you said, there is a truth in who invented medicine. And we need to be interested in the truth if we want to like grow as a humanity, if we want to. And we also need to learn to accept different opinions. I think a real democracy would be if like all information was equally available and everyone was really free to learn and to build their own perspectives, and then we talk about it and we discuss and we respect each other, and then we will maybe find a middle ground, but still like we just accept that we are not like thinking the same without wishing anybody harm. And I think we lost that. We lost this ability. It's like either this or that. Either you are like on this side or you are on that side. But what if there is a middle ground? What if I don't know the whole truth? What if like this mindset, I wish that more people will adapt, and I'm very glad that you do and that you share like all of those things, because I think we need more people who really are that passionate about something and then share their findings so we can move closer to the truth.
Yeah, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for your time. I think we touched upon a lot of topics now. We are like 1.5 hours now. Thank you for your time. And yeah, I will let you know once the podcast is online. Thanks everybody for listening. And we are very open for your feedback. Just comment or let us know if you enjoyed the podcast. I know it's something different than I normally do, and that's why I would love you to let me know if you liked it. Okay, then, Fatima, see you soon, and I will let you know.
Bye. Thank you very much.